We'll begin by singing, "Come and Fill Our Hearts with Your Peace."
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Amen.
It's so good as we gather together as community this evening to pray for our country, our world, to be oneness, to find justice and peace in all that we do. So thanks for coming out. My dear friends in Christ, in the name of Jesus, we pause today to join in prayer for peace and justice in our communities. We gather with troubled hearts, sorrowed by the sins of racism, hatred, violence, and indifference, and we grieve for those who have been victims of injustice. We gather also with thanksgiving for the gift of the goodness of those gathered here, dedicated to restoring wholeness to our communities. Although we find ourselves in a broken world, we gather as brothers and sisters, united in hope, knowing that you desire for us justice and peace. And now, my dear brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to enter into this time of prayer. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do, through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Let us pray. O God, author of true freedom, whose will it is to bind all men and women together as one body of Christ, grant to us, we pray, the grace to purify our hearts and the strength to overcome evil and build a just society, so that prejudice and animosity will no longer infect our minds or hearts, but will be replaced with a love that respects the dignity of each person. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. The Lord declared, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no healing for the wound of my people?" The word of the Lord.
It's so good to be with you this evening. It's great to see our choir beginning to form. That's awesome. I heard those voices when I walked in. It's just like angels from heaven. So, oh, yes. There you go. You're really appreciated and loved for what you do here and how you lead us in worship and, of course, our leader, Laura. The Balm of Gilead. The first mention of the healing balm of Gilead, it's found in the 37th chapter of Genesis. As a caravan is passing through Israel, transporting it along with other important merchandise like spices and myrrh. Interestingly enough, this goes back as you study it more and more, this also happens to be the same caravan that is stopped by Jacob's sons along the way, who remember threw their younger brother Joseph into a pit. Well, this is the caravan that's coming through, and they take him badly bruised and beaten out of the pit. They stop the caravan and they sell him for 8 ounces of silver. I wonder, since they were transporting it in the caravan and he was beaten and badly bruised, did anybody in the caravan offer Joseph some of the balm of Gilead to heal his aching body as he was being carted off to a life of slavery in Egypt? I just wonder. What is the balm of Gilead? Before this service, I didn't have a clue what it was, but it's been really neat to study and to understand it. It is a resin. It is a aromatic resin, as a matter of fact, that is derived from the buds of a plant that are particular to the area we know as Gilead. And the resin that is given off by these buds is high in what's called salicylic acid. Now, the only reason I know what that means is because I had chemistry in college, but it's another word for aspirin. We call salicylic acid aspirin. That's what it's called today. But this would be more of a topical thing. So it's a medicinal, it has a medicinal purpose to it. And it was very sought out. The Balm of Gilead was very popular because it could really cure you of what's ailing you, such as arthritis, strained muscles, or also a sprained back. And while I was studying about it, well, you know me, I had to buy a jar of it. So I went to Amazon and I bought a jar of it and got it this last weekend, as a matter of fact, and to put on the joints in my hands because I've got arthritis in them. And I will say that it really worked. But the first time I used it, the missus came in the room and said, "What is that smell?" You know, it's sort of like a balm, like you ever heard of tiger balm or some of those things? It's strong, you know. They say it's aromatic. It is, but I don't know what kind of aromatic it is. But due to the medicinal properties of the Balm of Gilead, it's always been seen as a symbol of healing. There's healing associated with it. So let's fast forward 800 years now from the time of Joseph to the time of today's reading. And it was a tough time for the nation of Israel, just like it is for us right now. All across the nation, the people had been wounded by injustice, hate, oppression, and greed. And healing was needed in a great way. So what does God do? Because he loves us, he raises up prophets. He raises up prophets like the one we hear called Jeremiah to call the nation back. Come back to peace and come back to justice. And as Jeremiah is sharing God's lament to the people over the woundedness, God rhetorically asks this question: is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no balm in Gilead? It's like God saying, are all the stores in Gilead sold out of balm? You can't order it on Amazon now? It's not possible? Can there be no healing? That's the point of the wounds of my people. It's really important to understand this as you look into the nature of who God is, that God is really big into justice and peace. He's big into that. Listen to a couple of scriptures as we think about justice and peace. Follow justice and justice alone, so that you may live and possess the land your God is giving you in peace. Defend the cause of the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and the oppressed. Here's a good one from Amos. Let justice roll down like waters. We've all heard that and sung that. And righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Here's a good one. To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Here's one out of the Psalms. Justice and peace kiss together. Here's one. God has called us to live in peace. And one out of the New Testament. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. Jeremiah. So let me ask you, is there no balm in Gilead? Now let's fast forward from Jeremiah's time to the 1800s. And it's during this dark period of slavery in America that we have evolving out of also many, many others, the African American spiritual, there is a balm in Gilead. There is a balm. Now you got to notice carefully the title of the song, because it's really, it grips you. The title of the song is not in the form of the question, like what Jeremiah asked, but it's a response. And the response is, yes, even in the midst of slavery, there is a balm in Gilead. And I truly like what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. commented about it. He's this song and about the passage. He says this, centuries after Jeremiah, our slave foreparents came along and they too saw the injustices of life and had nothing to look forward to morning after morning. But he says they did an amazing thing. They looked back across the centuries, and this is beautiful, and they took Jeremiah's question mark and straightened it into an exclamation point. Isn't that beautiful? See, he says they could sing, there is a balm in Gilead that makes the wounded whole. So how does the song go that we're going to sing in a few moments? Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work is in vain, but then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. Don't ever feel discouraged, for Jesus is your friend. Tell the love of Jesus and say he died for all. And now let's fast forward again to the wounds of injustice that are running rampant across our land today. Church, St. Albert the Great, let me ask you, what is our mantra going to be? Is it going to be, is there a balm in Gilead, or yes, there is a balm in Gilead? Which one's it going to be? Well, I resoundingly believe it should be, there is a balm in Gilead, because God has not changed for 3,000 years. Listen once again to what Dr. King said. As the days become dark and the nights dreary, realize there is a God who rules above. And so I'm not worried about tomorrow. As I move through Mississippi and Georgia and Alabama, living every day under the threat of death, living every day under extensive criticism, the future may look difficult and dim, but I'm not worried about it ultimately, because I have faith in God. And then he puts it all together by the quote of this verse out of that song, the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. So there's the key. See, God is the key. God, Jesus, Father, all the Holy Spirit. So let me share with you just a couple of practical things that each one of us can do to turn injustice and unrest into justice and peace in our world today. Now, I hear many people tell me this. They feel so small right now in the midst of such a large issue and challenge. They feel so small, and they don't know what to do. But remember, you can make a difference. You do make a difference. And St. Teresa of Calcutta, She taught us that in so many different kinds of ways, that one person, just one person, is capable of implementing so much positive change in the world. Let me give you these real quickly, things that we can do. First of all, pray. Pray like we're doing here today. Prayer changes things. The second thing is to realize you're not alone. It's not solitary. If you think about it, there's millions of people in our nation just like you who eagerly desire to see positive change take place in our country. The third thing is to pursue justice and peace in your own encounters with others. This is doing what one person can do. As I thought about this, I thought about the Good Samaritan. What does he do when he comes upon the man? He heals the wounds. He pours oil and ointment, balm, upon the wounds to help heal this man. And that's what we need to do. We need to go about doing good as the Good Samaritan. Another one is to be sensitive to all injustices. I would be willing to bet that everybody feels, that's here, and everybody feels in some way, at some time, they've been treated unjustly in life. I think all of us would say that. We know what injustice feels like. Healing comes, though, when we refrain from being judgmental. It's in times when we're angry, when we're stressed out, that we tend to be judgmental of other people and use derogatory words and pictures and things like that towards a person or a group of persons. But we're called to build people up. Build people up. Because when you respect people, as Jesus did, the possibility of dialogue begins to open up. I think of the words that Paul wrote as we read them in Mass just a few weeks ago. He said this: refrain from obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, and express instead, he says, thanksgiving. The fifth thing is to be an advocate for reform. There's institutions. The church is an institution. The government's an institution. Institutions always need to be looked at, and people need to be asking, is there a better way? Is there a better way to do it? Because we're not standing still in life. Time is constantly changing. Everything is changing, and the institution has to work towards positive, affecting positive change as well. So we need to be advocates for reform. One way that we can do that, one way we can make our voice heard, is by voting. We've got the primary coming up here in a few days, don't we? And then all the elections in the fall. Another one, when it is done peacefully, are protests. And we've seen how that works when people peacefully protest because people listen to it. And I think it's a good indicator as we look at the new executive order that was signed by the president yesterday regarding law enforcement reform. Some good positive change that took place out of that. We always have to be advocating for things and for reform, but we have to do it in a way that is peaceful. And then the final thing is an interesting one. It's called buy a cemetery plot. Now, I just read this in a book last week. Now, what are you talking about? Well, the point is we need to acknowledge our mortality. Guess what? You're not going to live forever. You've only got so many days. Your days are numbered. And since you only have so much time, the point is you really don't have time to do anything but pursue a life of justice and peace. So see, there's all kinds of things that just one person can do. But affirm right now, yes, there is a balm in Gilead. Justice and peace be with all of you, our community, our nation, and our world.
There is a bond.
Let us stand, please. Our dear brothers and sisters, confident that God hears the voices of those who trust in the Lord Jesus, we join our prayers now to His.
For our church, that we may uplift life and human dignity for all diverse faces of Christ in our community, our worship, our ministries, and our leaders. Let us pray to the Lord. For an end to racism in our country, for courageous leaders who will condemn it and work for justice, and for citizens who will no longer tolerate it in their communities and institutions. Let us pray to the Lord. For our public officials, that the spirit of wisdom may help them to dismantle systematic racism so that all may enjoy equal education, suitable housing, and equal employment opportunities. Let us pray to the Lord. For police officers, corrections officers, and all who work in law enforcement, who conscientiously carry out their duties with justice and peace. Let us pray to the Lord. For successful implementation of new police reform legislation, let us pray to the Lord. For families touched by violence, that they may know consolation and comfort, let us pray to the Lord. For our community, that we may receive the grace to see every human being as a child of God, regardless of race, language, or culture. Let us pray to the Lord. For all of us gathered here, that by the Holy Spirit we may be stirred to action and seek solutions to end racism and violence. Let us pray to the Lord. For all who have died, especially Breonna Taylor, David McAtee, Amund Aubrey, George Floyd, and David Dorn, may their names be in our minds and hearts as reminders of the work that lies before us, and may they be with you forever in glory. Let us pray to the Lord.
And now, my dear friends, united in one voice, let us pray as Jesus taught us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And before we close in prayer, let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Peace is a beautiful thing, isn't it? Let us pray. O God, our shelter and strength, you listen in love to the cries of your people. Forgive us for being a party to injustice in the lives of your children, especially our black sisters and brothers, and all victims of racism in our community. Increase our strength, we pray, O Lord, that we may ever drink deeply of love's power and everywhere promote your justice and peace. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. And may Almighty God bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Go in peace.
He shall hide me in the time of trouble. He shall